Father, we give you glory this morning. May everything we say and do be about you, the one that paid the ultimate price, the one that loves us, the one that's here for us, with us, and waiting for us. We love you. We give you glory and praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat. We're so glad that you guys are here. Everybody online joining us, so glad you're with us also. It's so fun to bring a word here to the Sand Springs family. Everybody say family. Family. That's one of our core values here at Sand Springs. It's just an honor to be a part of that family now. Pastor Eric and Christy, they're celebrating their 32nd anniversary. So excited for them. You know, I've been on the team for 5 months now, and to be underneath his leadership is a huge blessing. My wife and I talk about it all the time. We absolutely love coming to work because it's not work to us. We get to be a part of the family during the week and our family here on Sundays. And it's who you see behind this podium is the same person I see all week long. And that's not always the case sometimes. So very thankful for Pastor Eric and also his amazing wife, who's highly administrative and very gifted too. So very thankful for them. Amen. Well, I know God has a special word for us today. So I hope you're ready to encounter him. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we ask that you would speak to us. We're here and we're listening, and we desperately need a touch of God in our lives. Amen. So during the message today, just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Not what you're saying to my husband. What are you saying to me today? I believe God has a word for you if you won't miss it. Now, someone here a couple months ago gave me a great compliment. They go, hey, you're so full of joy. And I just thought that was so good, because what they don't know is a while back, I wasn't full of joy. Something had stolen my joy, but now walking in the freedom of the Lord, amen, my joy had returned. And the word that God gave me today it's really about a holy exchange. You came in one way today, but if you have your hands open and give it to God, I believe you'll leave differently. Amen. You see, lost my joy, but see, no one, I believe, especially Christians, wake up wondering, how can I be a downer today? I'd say Debbie Downer, but I don't want to offend Debbie's, so I'll just say downer. No one, I don't believe a Christian wakes up thinking, how can I be sad today? But I do think there's some Christians that have gone through some stuff. Raise your hand if you've gone through some stuff, right? And sometimes if you're not careful, those ashes from what burnt you or what you went through, they can begin to pile up inside of you. Those things will affect your soul. What that means, it'll affect your peace, your joy, your love, right? The Bible calls those weighty things burdens. Everybody say burdens. Burdens. I know there's heavenly burdens. You know, feeding the poor, you should have those type of burdens. I'm talking about worldly burdens, okay? Now think about this, if you surrendered your life to God, right, think about this, you went from headed to hell, a place that the Bible describes as eternal separation from God, right, also where people grind their teeth for eternity. It's a horrible place meant for demons, and that's a reality of a place, right, but if you're saved and you've made God the Lord of your life, you went from going there to going to heaven, amen? You should be the most excited people on the planet. So how come sometimes Christians, they're not very excited. I would say sad or depressed, right? I believe they have gone through some stuff and there's still some ashes left in them that God wants to take. But what could possibly make a Christian sad knowing that good news? See, when you carry burdens, it will distort how you perceive things. You ever had this thought? No one likes me, right? You ever had that thought? Or actually maybe one or two people don't like you, right? But not everybody doesn't like you, But then the enemy will run comments through that filter of a burden if you haven't given to the Lord, and he'll twist things. I want to share a couple examples with you this morning, how I had lost my joy and how God had restored it. Example of this was a young man that I had ministered to for about 10 years, and he was on our worship team, but there began a pattern in his life where he was grumpy and irritable and snappy at people, right? And the worship pastor and I, we prayed about it and felt, hey, let's give him 4 weeks off of being on the worship team, and we'll set up some counseling for him, but he's gone through some stuff, and it's affecting his behavior, because that's what stuff does. It will affect inside of you, it affects your health, your soul, and outside of you, amen? So we set him down, and I looked at him, and I said, hey, man, I know you're going through some stuff. He had some pain, some father wounds. See, his dad lived about 10 miles away, and he had shared with me that his dad's only seen his grandkids twice. Can you imagine that, grandparents, that only seen your grandkids and you live 10 miles away? But he had this huge hole of rejection and burden on him of what can I do differently? And I remember I set him down. I said, hey, we absolutely love you, but you've got some stuff that you need to give to the Lord, and it's affecting you, and it's affecting the team. And I said, we want to give you 4 weeks off. We're going to have one of our elders counsel you through this process. He loves you too. And the Holy Spirit said, ask him what you just said. So I turned to him. I said, hey, what did I just say to you? And he goes, that you don't like me and you're kicking me off the worship team. And I'm thankful I had a witness, my other pastor. I said, hey, did I just say that? And he goes, absolutely not. And I turned back to the young man and I said, I didn't say that. And he goes, I'm bipolar. I said, you're not bipolar. You have some wounds that need dealt with. And they're affecting you, and God wants that from you, but you got to give him those. Here's the sad, it didn't have to be the way it ended, because he could have processed that 4 weeks with the person we set up and given it to the Lord, but he didn't do that. He rejected that, and he moved on to another church. Listen, those burdens will travel to other churches. If you won't give them to the Lord, they'll just be passed on to the other pastor that will fail you. But pain not given to the Lord will distort how you interpret things. They are weighty burdens. In this case, for him, it was authority figures in his life. But making decisions from burdens can cause you to make covenants with the wrong kingdom. You know there's two kingdoms, right? This wrong kingdom thinking is this: I'm never going to change. This is always how it's going to be. I'm always going to make a mess of things, right? I'm always going to be financially burdened, living month to month. Those are all lies, and that's wrong kingdom thinking. But God wants us walking in his kingdom. If you're a son and daughter of God, we have that kingdom, but you have a choice and a will. Right? You have a choice and a will. But if you make decisions today from the pain of yesterday, you'll make a mess of stuff. But God wants that pain. Do you know that he paid for the pain? He tells us exactly what to do with heavy things. Psalm 55:22 says this, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. And then I like this version too, that same scripture. Pile your trouble on God's shoulders, he'll carry your load. Isn't that good? So I took the men, there's about 30 of us, went to the mountains about 5 years ago, and we went hiking. And I had a backpack, and some of the younger guys, my son included, my oldest son Garrett, some of you know him, he's preached here before. They go, hey, Dad, would you carry our water bottles? So they put the old man to carry the water bottles in the backpack. And I'm like, fine, put them in there, you're lazy. And so I'm carrying the water bottles, and it's about a 2 mile hike. I mean, I was worn out. I was tired. My back was hurting when I got to the top. And they were as we were walking, they'd get water, I thought, out of my backpack. What I didn't know, when I got to the top, I'm like, no way, I'm this out of shape. My back was on fire. I was exhausted. I sat down and pulled my bag. I turned my bag around, and they were not getting water. They were putting rocks inside my bag. So my bag, I pulled out 25 big size rocks, and I chased them, but I was exhausted. And they laughed, thought it was funny. I didn't think it was funny. But listen, we aren't designed to carry heavy loads. I was exhausted and my back hurt. That's the same thing that happens to us spiritually. When you carry what Christ says, give to him, they'll exhaust you, wear you out, and you'll wear other people out. You know the phrase, hurt people, hurt people? You don't wake up wanting to hurt people, but you give away what you have, right? If you're holding on to burdens, you're going to give that burden. It's going to run through a filter. 1 Peter 5 says this, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Isn't that good? And then Matthew 11 says this, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Isn't that amazing that King Jesus wants us to give him our stuff? Amen? You see, there's holy exchange. There's a holy exchange that God wants to do with us today. And Stephanie, who did communion, had no idea what I was talking about. She actually shared the exact same scripture. You know, there's over 32,000 scriptures in the Bible. You know that, right? And what I'm preaching on, God put on her heart to lead us to prepare your hearts. And that's how God works. That's his kingdom. Those are kingdom connections, right? But remember, we have a high priest that understands burden. We have a high priest that understands pain. Remember, all his close friends, his disciples, desert. You ever had a friend desert you when you needed him most? All of them deserted him. He was stabbed in the back by Judas, right? Betrayed by him, ridiculed and made fun of and mocked by the religious leaders. He gets pain. I would think the biggest pain he carried were our sins on the cross, because those sins, right, were burdensome on him. So if anyone's qualified to carry burdens, it's not you. It's Jesus. And he says, give me those burdens. You see, donkeys are designed to carry heavy loads. They're pack animals, right? Look at it. When you think of a donkey, they've got this big midsection, big legs, right? But a short body, right? But they have strong spines to support. They're pack animals. You're not a donkey. You're not a pack animal, right? The devil would love for you to become a donkey and carry heavy loads. Spiritually, you can be a donkey in the kingdom if you're carrying what belongs to God. That was extra. Okay. Dean thought that was good. But burdens will weigh you down. They can steal your peace. They can steal your joy. They can get you to function in the wrong kingdom. It's all a distraction. The devil can't harm you, but he can plant seeds in your mind and get you to make agreements with the wrong kingdom. I'm asking you today, will you think kingdom thinking? In every area of your life, not just what I'm talking about, but what if we rolled out of bed every day, Lord, help me to think from the kingdom so my perspective is accurate. Yeah. Amen? But burdens will harm you. So I found myself not being joyful. I was walking, I felt like sadness, and that's not my normal, how God's wired me, personality, but I found myself in a season of, God, I don't know what's going on. I've been through some stuff like all of you, and I want to share a few of these things that were weighty on me and what the Lord did to restore my joy. Okay, so my mom, growing up, my mom was a very strong woman. She was the president of the football team, all men but my mom. She pitched on the boys' varsity baseball team. She was just a tall lady, very athletic, but very influential. But more than anything, my mom was a prayer warrior in our community, a prayer warrior. She was an intercessor. She was constantly praying in the gap for other people. That's what an intercessor does, right? And she was... Fast forward, I'm a senior pastor of the church at this time, and mom was over our women's ministry, but mom didn't come to church, and which is odd. Normally mom comes, but she didn't come to church that day. So after lunch, I texted mom. She doesn't answer. She only lived a mile from the church, but I'm calling mom. She doesn't answer, and so I go by her house, Tanya and I do, and I look through the door, and I can see my mom lying on the carpet. So we get the key. We grab mom. We knew something was wrong. We didn't know yet. We take her to the ER, and they said, your mom has fallen, and she hurt her shoulder and her hip, and but she's going to be okay. We're like, yes, thank you, Jesus. And we're just super concerned for mom. But about a couple days later, they're only supposed to be in the hospital for about a week. A couple days later, they take her to ICU by ambulance, and they say, you need to get here right now. So we get back in the car, go up to ICU, and my mom's developed some blood clots, and they're dangerous. Anyways, so the whole church was praying. We were laying hands on mom. I was fully expecting God to heal, right? Because when you pray, you should fully expect there to, right, for a change to happen. So I was shocked when we went home to change, get some clothes, when the nurse called and said, you need to come back up. Your mom's passed away. I was shocked. I actually drove in the car and back, didn't say really anything because I was shocked. And as I'm walking down the hallway, I heard this thought. Remember, we have a hurt whisper that doesn't fight fair. And when you're going through trauma, he'll whisper things and back away, hoping you think it's your thought. And here's what he said. He goes, God could have healed your mom, but he didn't. And I remember having this thought, God, you could have healed mom. You know how she loved you. And I needed mom. But I started to get angry at God. Have you ever been angry at God? It's a bad place to be in. To guard your heart when trauma hits from an enemy that will whisper stuff. But I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, because as I began to walk in her room, the Holy Spirit said, you've been praying for her healing, and she's healed, and she's with me. Amen. Man, because there was a heart shift, and it's kind of hard to pastor a church when you look at God through a hurt lens. But even in that pain, and I processed that pain properly with the Lord, I mourned through that process, and my wife and I still talk about Mom. She was really close to Tanya and I. She was like a counselor. She was a certified counselor, but she's a spirit-filled certified counselor. Those are the ones you want. Anyways, true. So, but even in the loss of Mom, there were some ashes that began to build up in me. Do you know, when you go through pain, those ashes can build up, you know what I'm saying? And they begin to build up inside of me a little bit. Another example is my son Garrett, my oldest one, who's preached at Sand Springs before, and he's close with Pastor Eric. They still talk monthly. So thankful for a pastor that pours into my kids, amen. But Garrett was my executive pastor, preached for me, was my right-hand leader, and he goes, hey, Dad, why don't you build a house next to us? And I'm like, I don't want to build a house next to you, right? We just built one 5 years. We'd only been in there about 3 years at the time, I guess. And he goes, well, would you guys build a house next to ours? And I said, Mom and I will pray about it. So we prayed about it, and we felt like the Lord said, go ahead and build. So I said, all right, man. So we built the house right next to him. And I said, if we build, don't you move. True, that's what I said, word for word. He goes, we ain't going nowhere, Dad. And I said, okay. So what I didn't know is that when you live next to your grandkids, they'll walk in your house at any time, take food, don't say thank you, and leave. Your tools are constantly missing. And then when you build a basketball goal, my fault, they'll play basketball late at night, and I yell, go to sleep, you're keeping Poppy up. Bounce, bounce, bounce. So we go to a conference there at Bethel Church. My son's a pastor at Bethel right now in Redding, California, a Kingdom church. But we went to a conference at that time, and I remember the pastor, it was packed, this conference, and when the pastor finished, Bill Johnson, some of you know Bill Johnson, but when Bill Johnson, Pastor Bill, was done, he leaves right this spot here, and he walks around the side, and he walks right up to Garrett, and he goes, hey, I'm Pastor Bill. And Garrett's like, I know who you are. And he goes, I want to exchange numbers with you. I feel like there's a connection here. So, Dad, remember, I'm the senior. I'm watching this pastor. Don't you be taking my son. They have 800 employees. We had 8, right? Well, he begins a dialogue with my son, and they talk back and forth over the next few months, which is good, right? Next thing I know, Garrett comes to Mom and I, Garrett and his wife, Louisa, and they go, hey, we feel called to move to Bethel. We feel like this is where the Lord is leading us. Mom and I were stunned. I said this to him. I said, you said you weren't moving. But then we prayed about it. Mom and I, we had a peace about what God was doing. But even though we had a peace about it, it was hard driving down that road by his house. Empty. No more bouncing balls, and what I would give to have my grandkids come in my house and take food. Well, those ashes began to pile up, and I couldn't see what was taking place. Ashes of disappointment, because sometimes when you go through fire, ashes are left. And then I did this funeral for this small child, and I've done a lot of funerals, and it's difficult when you're up here and you're doing a funeral, especially when it's an unexpected loss. And when you're doing a funeral and there's a 2-foot casket in front of you and the parents are crying the entire time as you're preaching and you're trying to preach a message of hope, and you can't show this, you go home and all you can do is cry because you're carrying stuff. Because that's what pastors do, we carry stuff. We give to the Lord the best we can, but sometimes it's hard. But those ashes begin to pile up. So what did I do? I tried to ease the pain, because sometimes when burdens get big, you try to ease the pain. Some people turn to drinking. Some people turn to hobbies. I turned to golf. I stunk at golf. I started playing golf like every day. I still suck at golf, so it didn't change anything. But I was looking for relief from the pain. See, you'll turn to things when you need relief. And I actually repented for making golf an idol, because anything you put in front of God's an idol. I repented for that, canceled that, and got in right order with the Lord. But I remember saying, Lord, I don't understand what's happening. Actually, cried out to the Lord, what's going on? I don't feel myself. And he showed me this big white plate. I'm so thankful that God speaks to us directly, but he also speaks to us in dreams and visions. And I saw this vision of this big white plate. And on this plate was this large mound of ash. Large mound of ash. And he said, pass me the plate. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. He goes, that plate full of ashes of all those disappointments and things that didn't work out how you thought they should? Yeah, give me that. You see, I didn't even know I had ashes. I had weathered the storms that we all go through. I'm no different than you guys. And I was fighting the good fight. I was sharing the gospel to people. I was running the race. I was fighting. I wasn't faking. But that pile of ash had accumulated, and it was changing who I was. And the Lord said, pass me the plate, that plate full of burdens. So I remember I did this prophetic act. It's really simple. I just had my eyes closed, and I pushed this plate of ash, this big white plate with this mound of charcoal-looking ash, and I pushed it over to the Lord, and it was really easy for him. He took that plate, and then he handed me back a clean plate. And it was like 100 pounds of sorrow was removed off me in that moment. See, that's a kingdom exchange. When God takes something from you and replaces it, something from him, right? That's a kingdom exchange. And it's not a one-time thing either. Let me tell you this. You're all going to face disappointments and things will happen. Something could happen to you in your job next week. You're disappointed. What do you do with that burden? You give it to the Lord. I hope today's message sits inside of you and you understand what it means to give the burdens, pass the plate to God. God tells us this in Philippians 4:7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, I gave him burdens and he gave me peace. I gave him pain and he gave me peace. Amen. Because we serve that type of God. He paid for it. He wants it, but he won't take it unless you give it to him. Would you close your eyes? I believe there are many here today that have some burdens, some ashes that the Lord wants to take right now. And I believe the Holy Spirit's even speaking to you right now. With your eyes closed, I just want you to focus on the Lord, not be distracted. Maybe the Lord shows you some past pain. What's he going to show you right now in these moments? Could be shame from mistakes. Could be current burdens or financial stress. Some type of anxiety that you're holding on to. But whatever they are, he wants them. Give to him what he paid for. So what's the Holy Spirit showing you or saying to you that's on your plate? God's ready to exchange. I believe there's an exchange about to take place. If God showed you something right now, if he showed you something, I want you to picture yourself sliding that big plate over to him. Just picture that right now with your eyes closed, that you're sliding those burdens over to him right now. And he's passing you back a clean plate. Oh, so good. There's a kingdom exchange taking place right now. If you'll receive the clean plate. And Jesus, I ask right now that you would send more of your kingdom on that plate, kingdom of joy, kingdom of peace, restored hope, kingdom of love and grace and mercy for others, and kingdom of love for ourselves, that we would love ourselves like you love us so we can love others through a clear lens. Yes. So just receive the kingdom on your plate. God wants to pour out that on you and in you. He's so good. As we continue a time of prayer, some of you walked away from the Lord and you showed up here today just looking for answers. You're crying out, Lord, I don't understand. I need something. So you showed up here at Sand Springs Church. Maybe you used to follow the Lord, but you've walked away because of the pain, whatever it is. But you're sitting here in this service and God is calling you back to a family of believers right now. You see, Jesus died on the cross for you and he wants you back. Maybe you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And God's calling you to his family right now. Really sense the Lord moving right now. Don't be distracted. If that's you, I believe the Holy Spirit's pulling at your heart right now. And he loves you and he wants you home. Whether you've walked away or you've never experienced him before, he died on the cross for you. Lord, you're so good. Let us not miss this moment. You're so good, Lord. You're so good. I'm just going to stay here for just a second. There's something happening right now. God, you're worthy. You are King. You're worthy, Lord. Our worship team's going to play a song, and we're going to lift our voices to the Lord in a second, but we got a prayer team that's up here. And I don't want you to miss, if the Lord's moving in you right now, come pray with us. Something significant happens when two pray together. I don't want you to miss this. Maybe you need to come deal with some stuff at the altar. Maybe you need to accept Christ as your Savior. You've never done that. Whatever it is, as we stand, respond to what the Lord is doing. Let's not miss this. We're going to be in this moment for a bit. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Worship team's going to lead us. Worship the King with your voices.